Welcome to the Mosaic Church Podcast, where we share with you the message of hope and love that lies at the core of the Christian faith. Our weekly sermons delve into the teachings of the Bible and how they can impact our daily lives, inspiring us to journey together towards a deeper understanding of God's infinite love. Join our community of believers as we embrace the power of faith and embark on a transformative spiritual journey. Mosaic Church in Mableton, Georgia exists to lead people to an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ to help them change the world. Now, please enjoy this message from Pastor Broderick Santiago, lead pastor of Mosaic Church.
Where we exist for one reason and one reason alone. We don't exist so that we can just gather together for fellowship. We don't exist just so we can come together so y'all can look at me preach. No, we exist for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to lead people to an authentic relationship with Christ to help them change the world. We exist to lead people to an authentic relationship with Christ to help them change the world. Because if I can be honest with you, as I said this earlier, God didn't create us to make us pretty, put us on a shelf as trophies for the world to be looked at, to look at us. He didn't want to just put us on display as, wow, look at my greatest thing. No, God created us for a purpose, on purpose, by his specific design and purpose. So he created us, watch this, so that we can make a difference. And at Mosaic Church, that's our aim. We want to help you make a difference in the world around you. And you all, here it is, you all can do it. Matter of fact, everything you need to do it, God has given you. We just want to help you realize what that is. Amen. And so that's what we do. And we do that four ways. We help you know God. We help you find freedom. We help you discover your purpose. And if y'all were with us a few weeks ago, some of y'all were pretty excited because you discovered your why. You discovered the gift that God gave you because we walked you all through a process called spiritual gifts assessment. Right? And then we want to, once you learn who you are now, we want to help you make a difference. Help make a difference in the church you serve. Help make a difference at the job you work. Help make a difference in the world around you. So that's what we do here at Mosaic Church. And I pray that at some point you decide to take the next step. If you're not a member, maybe you make the next step and become a member of Mosaic Church. If you're not a member of Mosaic Church, or maybe your next step is salvation, or maybe your next step is baptism, whatever your next step is, I pray that we say something today that inspires you to take the next step. Well, today we are in our second installment of this incredible series entitled Mastering Mountains. Right? How many of us can say that through life, and maybe even this week, you've had to face some mountains? Right? Some of us have had to face mountains that were mountains of fear. Some of us had to face mountains of doubt. Some of us, here it is, some of us are facing right now mountains of debt, right? If you went to college, Sally Mae is like, okay, you know, your president gave you a break, but you know what? I'm back, right? He probably sent you a nice little letter letting you know she was back on the scene, right? She's back, right? So, but some of us are facing all kinds of mountains, but what I want to share with you all is not every mountain is an obstacle. You know, some mountains that we face and some mountains that are facing us, they're actually opportunities. And my goal through this series is to help you see the opportunities with every mountain that you're looking at and every mountain that's looking back at you. And last week, what we talked about was the mountain of problem, right? Sometimes we see problems as a mountain. And the thing about problems is problems are things that we have to solve, things that we have to figure out. And solving problems is not a bad thing. Right? Solving problems is not a bad thing. Why? Because it strengthens your mind. It causes you to be creative. It's not a bad thing. But problems are not always a mountain. Some problems give us an opportunity. Right? They give us an opportunity to grow. Today, I want to talk to you all about mountains that we see as challenges. Now, you may be saying, but Pastor B, isn't a problem and a challenge the same thing? Nope. You see, a problem is something we solve. A challenge is something we get through or get over, right? And so I want to talk to y'all about how do we manage mountains that look like challenges, I've entitled today's message simply this: Challenge Accepted. Challenge Accepted. Let me tell you all a story about this young cat. It's a little boy one day. He's walking home from school, and he cuts through this pathway to get home. So he doesn't take the direct route. He cuts through this little pathway through the woods to get home. And while he's frolicking on his way home, he sees a butterfly almost coming out of its cocoon. And the butterfly is struggling to get out of its cocoon. And the little boy is fascinated. Like, wow, right before my eyes, the process of metamorphosis is taking place. But this poor little butterfly is struggling to get out of its cocoon. And this young boy, seeing this butterfly struggling to get out of its cocoon, he decides, because his heart is filled with compassion, I've got to help this little butterfly get out of its cocoon. So he finds a little twig and he commences to helping the butterfly get out of the cocoon. He opens up the little space, the little tiny space that the butterfly was trying to get through. So he opens it just enough for the butterfly to get through. And the butterfly gets through the little gap that the young man made with the twig. And he sees the butterfly there, and he grabs the butterfly and he sets him on a little log. And then he says to the butterfly, fly, butterfly. The butterfly is just there, and the butterfly can barely lift his wings. And he says, fly, butterfly. The butterfly is there, but he won't fly. So the little boy is like, I helped him out. He should be able to fly right now. And he sat there looking at this butterfly, trying with everything it had within it to take flight, but never was able to do so. And the reason why that was unable to happen is because the butterfly, the young man didn't know, though his heart was filled with compassion, he did not know that that butterfly had to go through the challenge of working its way out of the cocoon. Because by struggling to work his way out of the cocoon, what was happening was the fluid, the natural fluid that's a part of the metamorphosis process, had to go through the entire body cavity of this butterfly and go through its wings in order for it to get the strength to have the ability to fly. But because he aborted, here it is, the process, because he aborted the complete process of metamorphosis, that butterfly never ever gained the strength to go. Why? Because this young man was trying to help what he saw as a challenge for the butterfly, but actually what he saw as a challenge became a problem for the butterfly. And as a result, that butterfly didn't make it. And many of us, we're like that butterfly. Now, it's not always somebody who helps us when they see us challenged, but sometimes, here it is, we face challenges and we abort the process. Sometimes, here it is, we face challenges and we look for shortcuts to avoid, watch this, the pain that we perceive that will happen as a result of going through a challenge. And then we wonder why we're weak. We supplement, here it is, God's blessings with stuff of the earth. We supplement because I don't want to feel that pain. I don't want to have to figure this out. I don't want to go through these challenges. So I'm going to abort this and supplement it. I'm going to try to take some shortcuts. And because you took shortcuts, you wonder why you end up weak and falling short. You've aborted the process. What am I saying? Challenges are a part of God's process for maturity. Challenges are part of God's process of maturity for the Christian. Any Christian that is not challenged in life will never, ever have the opportunity to be mature. Any Christian, any believer, watch this, if your faith is never tested, how do you know you even have faith? Come on, Mosaic Global, because they ain't talking to me in the sanctuary today. If your faith, you can walk around saying, oh, I've got faith. Oh, I've got faith. But if it's never tested, how do you know if you have faith? It's got to be faith. Growth takes place. Watch this. Pay attention. Growth takes place when you're challenged, not when you're comfortable.
Growth only takes place when you're challenged, not when you're comfortable. And this young man was trying to make it comfortable for the butterfly. That's why he opened the gap of the cocoon a little bit more, trying to make it comfortable and easy for the butterfly to get through. But all he did was cause more damage. And when you try to avoid, watch this, when you try to avoid the pain of your discomfort, sometimes you make the situation worse. My bishop, Dale Bronner, says this. He said, what doesn't challenge you cannot change you. What does not challenge you cannot change you. In other words, you have to be challenged in order to be changed. Because if you keep on, watch this, life doesn't happen linearly. Does it? Like, literally, you're not born and everything goes just as you planned it, straight down the narrow path. No, life does not happen linearly. Life sort of happens like a roller coaster. Huh? Like, you're born, and when you're born, what's the first thing you start doing? You're going up that roller coaster. And you're going up it at the same pace as a roller coaster. Like, y'all been on, where are my roller coaster people at? Anybody like roller coasters yet? So when you're going on that roller coaster, where does it go? It doesn't go up real fast. It goes... Then it kind of gets to the top and it kind of does that, you know, that little jerk right there because you know what's about to happen next. Y'all, they do that intentionally to scare you, to build up the thrill of the anticipation of the thrill, right? But that's how life happens. You go up. You go up. But here's the scary part. You go down faster than you went up. Is that what happens with the roller coaster? You go down faster than you went up. And then when you go down, it's very fast. And then you do a couple loop-de-loops and you do some wild and spinning turns. And that's what life looks like. And what the loop-de-loops are and what the wild and spinning turns are, that's the challenges of life. Because life is not lived linearly. It's lived like a roller coaster. It's up and down. And the thing about the loop-de-loops is, watch this. You go this way, but then you got to go back. And that's what happens in life. We go up, we go down, we go this way, we come back, we go around again and up and down again. We're all over the place because life is meant to be lived with challenges. Because you cannot grow if you're not challenged. Where are my teachers at? Look at all my beautiful educators. Education is part of the challenge. You're not going to be a senior in high school still learning your ABCs. Why? Because you learn that at this grade level, and the next grade level challenges you so that you can be promoted to the next grade level, and you're challenged again for the next grade level to keep. It's the process. If I don't challenge, here's the challenge. Tests are your challenge. They test you to see if you learn something. They test you to see if you learn from the last level you were on. That's challenging. But life is the same way. God doesn't sit us in a classroom to grow us. He challenges us. You see, we all are graduates of the University of Hard Knocks. Can I get a witness? Put some fire in the chat online. They're quiet in the sanctuary today. We are all graduates. Some of us have masters from the University of Hard Knocks. Some of us have, here it is, we just have a diploma from the University of Hard Knocks. But if I'm honest about it, and I look across this room, and I can imagine the people who are watching online, many of us have PhDs from the University of Hard Knocks. Where are my PhD people at? Because you were challenged, and you graduated as a result of your challenge. Challenges are meant to change us, not hurt us. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5 says this. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. It's interesting how that even starts off, Angie. It says we can rejoice when we run into trials. What? Like, I know some of y'all, when y'all first read that, you're like, boy, please. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Why can we do it? Because we know that they help us develop endurance. Trials help us. In other words, he's saying, trials help us grow. And endurance, guess what? That endurance, which is really patience, the Greek word there really means patience. It helps us develop patience. Watch this. And that endurance / patience, it develops strength of character. Oh, that's really good. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And here's the best part. And this hope, like this hope right here, like this hope that God has given us, here's the best part. It will not lead to disappointment. Can I put that in perspective? Some of y'all have been praying and asking God for a specific thing. May I give you an example? Some of you all may be working a job right now, and you're asking God for promotion. And God says, I've not built up. Right now, you're in the patient or the endurance phase of the process. And God is saying, I'm trying to build up the character, because here it is. Listen to me. Don't miss it. If I give you the promotion, you don't have the character to handle it. So I've got to go get you through the process of enduring this season now, because if I give you what you're asking for prematurely, you're going to blow it and not, watch this, you're not only going to hurt you, you're going to hurt the people around you, and doggone it, God says, and you're going to hurt my reputation. And I will not have that. He says, so here it is. I've got to take you through this process of endurance, which means patience. And then during that process, I've got to develop the character, because right now, if I promote you to where you want to go, you're not ready to handle it. Here it is. Some of y'all are asking God for more money, and God is like, yeah, you ain't ready for that. God is like, right now, you made more money than you've ever made in your life, and you are still struggling. You have not learned the stewardship principle. And what's going to happen is I'm going to give you more, and you're going to give me less. I'm not going to bless you. Amen. Lights. And he's saying, I've got to develop the character within you first before I promote you to where you want to go. I want to give it to you. As a matter of fact, here it is. It's a part of my plan to give you exactly what you're asking for. But I've got to develop patience in you, especially in a society where you can go get everything fast. Especially like if you love Chick-fil-A. I love Chick-fil-A. Mr. Mitchell, you know why I love Chick-fil-A? The chicken is good, but the service is better. But you know what's so incredible about that, Mr. Mitchell? Is that the founder, Mr. Caffey, that was his whole plan. He said, I don't want to make the best chicken in the world. I want to provide the best service in the world. And that's what we get. I love it because, guess what? I know this, Craig, that if I only have a short period of time before I get lunch, I don't care if it's a line at Chick-fil-A. I'm going to get through that line in 5.6 seconds. And you know what they're going to say? When I say thank you, they're going to say, it was my pleasure. It was their pleasure to make sure I got my good chicken on time and was able to get back to work, even if I sat in the line for an extended period of time, and they're going to smile the whole time. McDonald's ain't doing that. Yes, I said Mac. Because here it is. God is saying, in this fast food microwave society that we're in, I've got to develop patience with you. Because here it is. Some of y'all, and I know it, I'm not going to call out no names. Some of y'all are very impatient. I'm about to tell you how I know that. Because you sit at a stoplight, and you can't sit at the stoplight without, you know what, let me grab my phone. Okay, light green. Yo, look at somebody. Somebody's like, oh, he all of it, like he in my car or something. I'm in half y'all cars, especially my wife. But seriously, like I'm at the stoplight, I'm going to just wait at the stoplight. Y'all know the stoplight ain't going to be 5 minutes. It's not. It may feel like it because we're in a microwave society. And God says, I've got to build patience within you again, because you can't even be patient at the stoplight. You can't even be patient when, here it is. I saw somebody have a fit the other day, Michael. Because there was a line at the self-checkout line. I'm like, you're that anxious to bag your own groceries? You got to pay for the groceries and bag them, and you're that anxious? How about this? Go where there's not a big line and talk to the cashier. What a novel idea. It's crazy. And God says, I've got to build patience because y'all in this microwave society acting crazy. And he says, this hope that I put in you, it won't lead to disappointment. After you've learned how to be patient, even though you may be going through challenges, after I've developed the character within you, even though it was painful, and now I'm going to give you this hope, guess what? You will not be disappointed. Because once you get there, you're going to forget how long it took you to get there. Once you get the money you've been asking for, you're going to forget how hard you worked to get it. And the people around you are going to think you were an overnight success. You're going to be like, no, you have no idea how many times I was in my prayer closet. You have no idea how many times I had to borrow money. You have no idea how creative I had to be with my finances for as long as I had to be. You have no idea what I had to go through to get there. I'm not an overnight success. Baby, I've been working on this with God for a long time. But God says, I got to take you through the process. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 12 and 13. 12 and 13. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. What he's saying is don't be so confident like, oh, I'm good. Everything is wonderful. I'm good that you don't think you can fall. He's saying, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. I've got to fix this because we have Dr. Erica in this church. And so if I don't give you all the text and context, she's going to really get on me. So let me tell you what's going on. This passage has nothing to do with sin. When he's talking about temptation, it has nothing to do with being tempted to sin. You know what this whole passage has to deal with? The temptation to believe in other gods. Because what he's talking about, if you open up this particular chapter here, what he's dealing with are people who are, watch this, who are worshiping idols, who are worshiping other gods. And he said, and why are they doing that? Because they've grown impatient with God. And so God ain't moving fast enough. So let me start praying to these little statues of horses and all of this stuff. God ain't moving fast enough. So let me start taking all of this natural medicine. That's how we are, right? God ain't moving fast enough in performing a miracle. So I'm going to start just blessing my house with sage. Get out of here, evil spirits. And what you're actually doing is welcoming them. Because sage is something that we use for ancestor worship. The Yoruba religion, which I've studied and been a part of, that's a part of it. Sage and the burning of things like that, it's part of the process of calling back the dead. So when you're burning sage in your house, it may be a sweet aroma. I'm not going to lie. I love the way sage smells. But when you're doing that to get rid of evil spirits, you're inviting old and dead spirits in. I just taught you something. And when you're walking around with the evil eye talking about, you know, I got to protect my peace. I got to protect my sanity. I got to make sure nothing evil comes in. Well, they call it the evil eye because it's evil. It doesn't protect you from evil. You invite evil through that eye. Do your research. Do your research. And be careful about the yoga poses you're doing. Some of those are actually postures of prayer to a god. We do stuff because it seems cool. We do stuff because we want to be healthy. We want to be healthy spiritually. But what you're actually doing is welcoming things that are not of God. I'm not judging you. I'm helping you today. Amen. Y'all got to talk to me online because they're quiet in here. I think I done pulled up in everybody's driveway this morning. The Bible says here, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, here's the best part. He will show you a way out so that you can what? Endure. Continue to be patient, waiting for him. Don't abort the process and start trying other stuff that is not of God. There are three ways, beloved, that we define challenges. About to get into some notes here, so if y'all want to take notes, pay attention. There are three ways that we define challenges. Do we define challenges by what we see? Like if we see something, we can perceive that what we see is a challenge. We define challenges by what we think. We think that something is going to go on. Like there's a thinking that can cause us to think wrong. And so we think we have a challenge, and it may not be. We also define challenges based on how we feel. Right? Watch this. Here it is. I'll say this. I had this conversation with somebody recently. Your perception is the reality, but it's incomplete. Like how if the reality is somebody may have definitely hurt you, but it's not completely true until you understand the whole thing. Because maybe they never meant to hurt you. You just perceive that what they said was offensive, and it's like I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't even mean to hurt you. Here's what I was saying. Please hear my heart. You'd be walking around mad at people and being spiteful for people that meant no harm to you at all. But because you felt a certain way, you felt challenged by that. So three ways we define challenges. Here is what we see, based on what we see, based upon what we think, based upon how we feel. And all of those things are incomplete. I want to help you today. So how do we overcome these things? How do we deal with these things? Here's the first note I want to give you. Overcoming challenges requires vision bigger than your sight. That's so good. I should have got an amen, Rod. I don't know what happened, Rod. Maybe I didn't bring it home. No, seriously. Overcoming challenges requires vision that's bigger than your sight. In other words, vision is something that comes from God. And we receive vision, hindsight, insight, foresight. Okay, don't miss that. I'm teaching today. We receive vision, hindsight, what we've experienced or seen in the past, insight, what God is telling us internally, foresight, what we see in the future. I'm not talking prophetically. What I'm talking about is sometimes your imagination. Sometimes you have to see yourself better than you are right now. Sometimes you have to see yourself in a better position than where you're at right now. Sometimes you have to see yourself healthy. Do you know that the biggest contributor to people becoming or defeating this disease of cancer is what they think about the cancer? Now, not everybody's cured for it, but what I'm saying is the greatest weapon against cancer is your outlook. It's your outlook. And those who surmise and die from it earlier than expected, they've given up. But those who survive it, I've got a witness in here right now. Doctor told him he had not one but two cancers. And he laughed in the doctor's face. Talking about Pastor Danny. Defeated not one but two forms of cancer. Why? Because his outlook was positive. He's like, I know, Doc, you're qualified. I know, Doc, you spent a lot of money and a lot of hours with that education. I know that degree on the wall cost you a pretty penny. But guess what? My God gives the final answer. Beloved, 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us something very familiar. You've heard it. For we live by believing, not by what we see. We walk by faith, not by sight. And you have to have vision. When you see a challenge, you have to have a vision from God that's greater than what you can actually see with your natural eyes. You have to, that's how you overcome it. Some mountains, here it is. Woo, some mountains that we face in life, well, let me say it this way. Some challenges that we face in life create crisis. But here's the good news about a crisis. A crisis creates creativity. Some challenges can cause a crisis, but crisis breeds creativity. Come on. How many of y'all have had more months than you've had money? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm going to raise your hand for you because I've had a lot of those months where I've had more months than I've had money. And guess what? That's called a crisis. And when I'm in that financial crisis, guess what? Me and Dr. Erica become very creative. Come on, somebody. Because some crises breed creativity. You've got to figure it out. When you don't have enough, you've got to figure it out. Where are my college students at? Y'all remember when they were serving food you didn't like at the cafeteria, but all you had was ramen noodles. And so what'd you do? You figured out how to turn them ramen noodles into a full four-course meal, didn't you? Okay, maybe that was just me. No? Because, listen, you got an egg. I got an egg. I got some hot dogs. We about to have a feast up in this bad boy. Anybody got some Lowry's? Lowry's solves everything. Come on. Y'all don't know about Lowry's? What kind of church is this? Okay, there we go. You put some Lowry's in it, man, you done made a meal. Because crisis, again, if you see a challenge as a challenge and not as an opportunity, you miss the opportunity to be creative. Some of y'all didn't know you were creative until you faced the crisis. Some of y'all didn't even realize you had a creative gene in you until you faced your first crisis. Because crisis breeds creativity. Here's something I want to tell you. Faith moves mountains, but doubt creates them. Faith moves mountains, but doubt, it creates mountains. And I pray that by the end of this sermon today, that you see, here it is, that you begin to see through a holy lens that what you call a challenge is not a mountain, it's a molehill. If you've never seen a molehill, you can just step on it and then it closes. You can walk around it or walk over it, but a mountain seems like you can't beat it, like you can't destroy it, like you can't get over it, you can't get around it. I want you to begin to see the challenges of your life as molehills, not mountains. Like David. David facing a mountain that was approximately 14 to 16 feet tall. A mountain that had a reputation of tearing people down single-handedly, destroying armies. A mountain that actually had a name called Goliath. A Philistine giant that held an entire nation at bay. David's like, yo, what y'all doing over here? Why y'all ain't going over there fighting these Philistines? We can beat them. And they're like, dude, do you see the champion, the mountain that they call Goliath? He's a champion warrior. What are you, crazy boy? David's like, let me fight him. I know he got a rep, but my God's rep is even greater. Because, see, I don't know about Goliath, but I know about my God. You see, if God has allowed me to beat other creatures that are ferocious, oh, he will let me beat this creature who's ferocious. If God allowed me to defeat other animals that had a reputation of being killers, like lions and bears, God could allow me to kill this person who has a reputation of being a killer, even though he's a giant. So what's the first thing they did? Here's a crisis. There's a mountain called Goliath. I've got to find him. I've got to fight this dude. The first crisis he faces is what? The armor that they gave him was too big. So because I'm in a crisis, guess what happened? He becomes creative. You know what? I used to be pretty good with this slingshot. Y'all got about 3 stones. I need them to be smooth. Let me show you how I work. I may not be able to use this sword. I may not be able to use this shield. And the helmet is too big for my little tiny head. But I tell you what I can do. I'm a master. I'm skilled with the slingshot. Give me the slingshot and 3 stones. And I'm going to see if this is going to work. And popped him in the forehead. I believe that's where it landed. And killed him. But just to make sure he was dead, David was like, now just to make sure, Goliath, you are out. Let me borrow this sword since you don't need it anymore, and I'm going to chop your head off. And chopped his head off. But what happened? It began with a crisis that forced him to be creative. He didn't have normal weaponry used for warfare. So he creatively said, I'm going to use what I'm familiar with. That's what crisis does. It forces you to use what you got. It forces you to use what's in your hand. It forces you to use what's within your reach. That's what crisis does. So when you begin to see challenges as an opportunity to use what you have, not have to develop something new, you're winning. And now the crisis is not an obstacle. The crisis becomes an opportunity. Come on, somebody. Y'all better say amen on that. All right, I'm almost done. 2 more things.
A clear direction requires the right perception. A clear direction requires the right perception. Perception, beloved, is a function of the mind. If you see something wrong, it's hard to do something right. If I see it wrong, Leslie, I can't deal with it right. If I don't see it through the right lens, Miss Elsie, I'm not going to address it the right way. Because if you see something wrong, you got the wrong perception, you're going to handle it the wrong way. You can't respond to a challenge right if you see it wrong. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by what? Changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Like, let God change your thinking, because too many of us suffer from stinking thinking. Like, we always, come on. Some of y'all know who these people are, and I hope none of y'all are them. Those negative people, everything. You talk about, you could talk about something as fun as, like, yeah, we're going on a vacation. The first thing, come on, I don't know about that, man. You know, it's crazy over there. Like, bro, we're going to whatever place you were, somewhere in the Caribbean. Oh, you know, it's crazy. Have you read what the crime rate is over there, man? Shoot. I mean, like, yo, we're going on vacation. Why are you bringing up all this negative energy? Oh, you know, they got the greatest and the biggest jazz festival, free jazz festival in Atlanta. Oh, no, I ain't going down there, man. They be acting crazy. Ain't nobody acting crazy listening to jazz. Ain't nobody breaking our gun. Oh, man, we about to blow this place up. Oh, they playing Najee. Seriously, but I promise you, you thinking of something positive, there's always somebody going to find something negative. Stinking thinking. And you hear enough negativity, guess what? You start having stinking thinking, because stinking thinking is contagious. You got to stop being around people like that. Let God transform your thinking. Is this really an obstacle, or is this an opportunity? By the way, there's never, ever a challenge that does not have an opportunity. Never. God wastes nothing. Everything you go through, God uses it for good. Everything. 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 I don't care what it is. God uses it for his good. So we got to change our thinking. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says this: we destroy every proud obstacle, here it is, that keeps us from knowing God. I love this part. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Talking about obstacles that breed negative thoughts. It's like, I'm gonna grab this thought, be like, nope, that is not true, devil. Don't be lying in my head. And I'm gonna teach you to obey my God. Because if God be for me, there is nothing that can be against me. You can't say that and still have doubt. You can't say that and still have fear and not pursue what God has called you to do. You can't say, well, if God is for me, then who can stand against me, and then be afraid to go out into the world to live and experience what God created for you. Number three, real are your feelings, facts they are not. Real are your feelings, fact they are not. Your feelings are real, but they're not fact. Because watch this, if we see challenges, Craig, based on how we feel, that don't mean that what we feel is actually a fact. Let's go to the root. Why do you feel the way you feel about this challenge?
Well, my mom and them, there it is. That we done figured it out. All you had to do was say my mama, and I figured it out. Well, my boy, there it is. My boy, there it is. That's where you got that from.
Where did you get this learned behavior to look at challenges through this lens of yours? Watch this. That makes you have the wrong perception. That makes you think that what you feel about it is actually factual. You've decided in your heart that this thing is wrong, this thing is not good, this thing is not going to bless me. You've decided in your heart without getting the facts.
And because you've decided in your heart without getting the facts, it makes your feelings not facts. You haven't got enough information. Oh, so-and-so don't like me. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and the same thing. I'm like, it's not that somebody doesn't like you. It's not that somebody doesn't care about you. It's not that somebody don't love you. They just wouldn't put you in a position beneath where they would put you. Right? In other words, somebody gets mad because somebody didn't offer them something. Yeah, they offered me, they gave that them, they gave this to them, they gave this to them, but they ain't offered me nothing. Maybe because they thought you deserved better than what they gave everybody else. I didn't think about that, Pastor B. I know, that's why I'm telling you. Seriously, this is how we do. We get up in our feelings and we create challenges that never even exist. Oh, you know what? They just gonna walk by me. They ain't even say hello, but they ran to hug so-and-so. Maybe because they saw you, but so-and-so they hadn't seen in a while. And the last report they heard about so-and-so was that they were in a hospital. And they're just glad to hug their neck because they're still here in the land of the living. Don't miss it. See, you don't let your feelings get in the way and create something that you think is a fact that's not. Your feelings are real, but they're not factual. And we got to be careful about our feelings because our feelings cause us to create challenges that don't even exist. Jeremiah 17:9 says this. This is so good. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Let me fix this, because when I first read this, I'm like, what? That sounds crazy. But all Jeremiah is saying is our feelings mess us up. Our feelings don't give us the full story. Our feelings can... Our feelings build walls when they should be building bridges. See, a wall prevents us from engaging. A bridge invites us to engage. And our feelings should be creating bridges, not building walls. And oftentimes our feelings, which come from the heart, because in case you didn't know, the heart is the seatbed of our emotion. The heart is the seat of our emotion. And what he's saying is, in essence, your emotions are deceitful. They're not completely true. Be careful about responding to situations in life. Be careful about responding to people in your life based upon your emotions. John 14:1 says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And here it is. And trust also in me, Jesus. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And see, and here it is. A challenge causes some of us to panic. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. Like we are the same. We're one. Matthew 15:19-20. From the heart come evil thoughts. Meaning from our emotion. Come evil thoughts. Murder, evil thought. Adultery, evil thought. All sexual immorality, evil thought, theft, lying, slander, all of that come from the emotions. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. All he's saying is doing all of this ritualistic stuff, that don't get you wrong. But when you start operating from your emotions, yeah, that'll get you wrong. And I know sometimes that's real. Sometimes you should be offended. Sometimes somebody did do something wrong to hurt you, but not all the time. Not all the time. Not everybody's against you. And finally, I close with this. Quote from the Right Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He says this. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in time of challenge, controversy. The ultimate measure of a man is not where you stand in times of comfort and convenience, but where you stand in the face of time of challenge and controversy. I know he was talking about the civil rights movement. But some of us cause internal rights movements in our own lives just because of how we think, how we perceive certain things. And the question is, I have for you as I close, where do you stand when you face challenges? How do you respond to the challenges of your life? And as I said last week, we all have problems and we all have challenges. But our problems, nor do our challenges, need to have us. We have power over all of these. Not our own power, by His power, by the Lord's strength, we are healed. By His power, by His strength, we're not condemned. By His strength, we can do all things with Him. How do you stand in the face of trials and controversy? I'll let you wrestle with that, and I'll close right there. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that Pastor B said something that moves you closer to Jesus. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, we would like to invite you to follow us on social media at Mosaic Mableton and visit us at our website at wearemosaicchurch.org. You can learn more information about our church, ways to support our ministry through financial donations, stay updated on upcoming events, and find resources to support your spiritual journey. We would be delighted to welcome you in person on Sunday mornings to worship and connect with others. Our doors are always open to those seeking a place to grow and explore their faith. Thanks for tuning in, and may God bless you on your spiritual journey.